So as many of you know, we've spent the last 6 months in Italy, and the work we were doing there was largely with the Baptist Church. So when we were thinking about what we wanted to talk about today, we were trying to think what experiences we had and what we wanted to bring to you today. So we decided to do it on the church and what the church is, because that's what the experiences we have are from. Okay, so my first point is that the church is the people, not the building. I think quite often this is said in Christian circles that, oh, the church is the people, but it's not the building and all this, but I never quite understood what they were saying. So it wasn't until I was talking to a lady in our church, and she was saying how her family have agreed not to call a church service on a Sunday morning church, so they're banned from saying the word church. They only say that they're going to service. And I didn't really understand. So she explained that that we are constantly the church of God, and it doesn't matter. The church isn't just on a Sunday morning. We don't just go to church, but throughout the week we are the church of God, and it's the community within the church that makes us God's church rather than the building. So I found this really interesting and did some research on it. And it says in Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church. And he's talking to Peter that he's going to build this New Testament church on Peter the Rock. So when I was researching the church, I found that the church means ekklesia. Is that the pronunciation right? Ekklesia in Greek. So yeah, the church means ecclesia, but then when you translate ecclesia back into English, it means the Christian assembly or congregation of people. So then the church means the people and the assembly within the building. But then when I looked up in the dictionary what church meant, it said that it was a building used for public Christian worship. And I was just wondering how we got from the church being the people and the congregation inside the building to the church being the building. So I think most of us refer to the building as a church, and it's just like a reflex. So, but we just don't want to forget the real meaning. And yeah, I think it's quite important, even if we do naturally refer to the building of a church as a church, just to remind ourselves what it really means. So I think the main reason we got here from was in the beginning of the New Testament, when the church was on the move and it was really growing. First, Christians were meeting in small houses, and that's where they'd have their services and they'd have their communities, and the church would be wherever they could meet, wherever they had space. And I think as the church grew, it would grow into a church building, and then this would just naturally have got shortened to the church. So now when you say to a person who's not a Christian, what's the church? They refer to the building around the corner. But in fact, the church is the believers in the building, not the building itself. And I think a good way to think about this is if the church was taken away, would the church still remain? If the building was removed, would the church still remain? I think in many instances that the church would still remain doing outreach projects and all the work that the churches do. But I think it's just really important to remember that it's the people who worship inside the building rather than the building itself. And you can see this in many its works. No. Okay. You can see this in many areas of ministry, and especially here. I remember when we were here last time at Evesham, we spent an evening up at Dave and Jackie's with the Discoverers, and we were just chatting and playing games and having fellowship and taking stupid photos and just eating and having really good fun. But you could see church there, and even though it wasn't a specific sermon on a Sunday morning, you could see that was church, even just in the house. And we saw this a lot in Italy as well. A lot of the people we're working with were Filipinos, and they love their food parties and their gatherings. So we have a lot of meals with the Filipino community. And you could just, even when you're at their houses, you could see church, just in the eating and the talking. And that it didn't matter where the building was, but you could see that was God's church just eating together. The church of the Bible wasn't a cold stone building. It wasn't a cold stone building, but it was a group of warm and loving Christians who came together and worshipped. And I think that's why the New Testament church is growing so much, because their focus on the community of it, and they were portable of where they went. It wasn't refined to a building that was a church, but it was the community that came with it. I think this is a really beautiful picture that a group of people chosen by God, that they're not restricted by the walls of the building, but going beyond that, and that the church can just go wherever they want. They want the church was on the roof and was growing and growing. So, and I'm not saying that church buildings aren't important, because they facilitate so much of God's work, and the buildings that we have, we're so blessed to have, because we can use them for outreach projects and all the jammed in and all the things that we were doing in Italy. We didn't have that building, we wouldn't have anywhere to do the work that God sent us to do. But I think it's just, yeah, really important to remember that it's God's people in the church that are the church. And then we use the buildings that we're given to do the work that God has asked the church to do. So I'm just going to leave you with this Bible verse, Ephesians 2, verse 22. In him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And, I think this verse is just really saying that when the church is being built and is growing, God is building us as a community, and it's together that we're being built. And it's in that kind of church, when we're being built together in community, it's that church that God's Spirit dwells in. His Spirit doesn't just restrict itself to staying in a cobblestone building, but it's with us and with the church. And that's where God's real Spirit lies.
So another aspect of God's church that we can see in the Bible is to be open with all people, to be open as a family, to be forward-looking. It says, as it says in Romans 15, verse 7, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, the glory of God. So it's so you can see from this Bible verse that it's God's intention for the church family, to be open to everyone, to welcome everyone. And then it shows that it glorifies God, because it says in here, you know, the glory of God. And it just shows how when you welcome people into this church family, this close community, God wants it to happen. God's happy when it's happening. So it glorifies God. God's love is for everyone, and it's for non-Christians and Christians. It's unconditional, so it means that whatever we do, whether it's good things or bad things, he still loves us unconditionally. He loves us either way, and it's there's no limit to it. It's eternal love. And this is so unknown to humans. It's something that we can't give out, but it's only God. And it's just this amazing ultimate gift of grace that he's given us. It shows that we have something that's worthy to be shared with other people. And so being this open church and being this open family to everyone, it shows how they can see that we have this gift of love that God has given us, and that is something that's worthy to be shared to others and to spread the word. Because this love is uncontainable, it's within our fellowships, and this love changes people. It changes the way we treat other people and how we are with each other. We become brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's something that's so different. And when we are open with people, it shows that we are different, and they can see that difference, because God is working within each and every one of us. God's love surrounds us all, and you can see that difference in that person. When someone turns to Christ and becomes a new Christian, you can see that difference from their old life and their new life, and how they're reborn into this person that God wants them to be. And And so this is a picture of the church that we was working in Italy. And something that we noticed about this church was that they always had their doors wide. And this is a picture from standing at the doorstep looking into the church. And where this photo was taken would be the main street. So it was very in the city centre, this church. And so many Italians would be walking back and forth because that's what they like to do. And what we noticed was how even in worship practice, people would be stopping and staring and looking in and then walking on and then coming back. And because Catholics are quite superstitious as well, so they were very, very intrigued and very, very curious about what we was doing. And you could see like some people would walk in and just come and sit down and just stay at the back and just watch us, and they'd have smiles on their faces like, oh, what are they doing? And this curiosity just developed within them, and you could see that, and you could see kids dragging their parents down the steps, and just because it was such a happy worship environment. And it just shows how to be open as a family, open as a church, it allows non-Christians to see this. And and even though like these people that came in, they didn't come to the service on Sunday, or they didn't become Christians there and then, you could tell that the seeds were planted within them, and that seeds, and they were that this curiosity, why are they so happy, why are they praising, who are they praising, you could see that it was developing in them, and eventually over time they might come and find the answer when they're ready. And so like another thing about being an open church that we found was to be an open church family, to welcome those who want to know, to those who have had these seeds planted in them, there's always a place to nurture the seeds, for them to grow when they're ready. So when they're ready to ask these questions, to find out more and want these answers, then they come to this church, and we're, as a church family, we're ready to open them with our arms open wide, to welcome them in and to answer these questions and to discover more about God, read the Bible and share and be in fellowship together. And it also, when we're nurturing these seeds together with the church family, we develop these strong roots and learn more about God, and God is our foundation, and He is where we grow so healthily as Christians and we mature. Right, so another experience, in September when we was having our training, they asked us, one of our tasks was to put £1 on a bet, go into a betting shop and put £1 on anything. And so when we came in, we were so lost, we didn't know what to do, we didn't know where it was, and we felt so out of place, and we didn't know how to bet and what to bet on and what were the rules, and we were so lost. And the whole point of that task was to see what a non-Christian would feel like, how a non-Christian would feel when they entered this church, because they don't know anyone, they don't know what we're doing, they don't know why we're doing it, they don't know who God is. And if it was a closed community, they'd feel so lost and empty, that they wouldn't feel anything, they wouldn't have this connection. Like when we went into this betting shop, we knew it was very cold, and like people didn't help us, and they found it was a very scary and intimidating environment. And that shows how important it is for us as a church to be an open family, to be open to everyone, and to have not the opposite of this, to be warm and welcoming to people. And an illustration, I've got to do you help us, please? Right. So, if... Right, so if I was a non-Christian, I was coming to church, and this church was closed, you can see that they're a very tight family, they're a very close community, they're very happy, and they've got something to share, they've got God's love that they want to express and
to share with others. But as a non-Christian, when I'm coming in, I can't talk to any one of them because they're closed. I can't go around here or here. They've got things to say. But an open church family like this, they're still just as close. They're still joining and a close family. But when I come, I can talk to Hugh, Zoe, or Sarah, and they've got so much to share, and they can talk to me straight away, and I feel welcome, and I can so easily join in this and be a family together. Right.
Okay, so
Sarah,
what do you think
about
the experience?
It just shows, like, from the betting shop, that experience, to not be like that, but to be like that with your face facing non-Christians, to be outward facing, just shows that it's more accessible for non-Christians, and that's what church needs to be. They need to be welcomed, they need to be drawn into it, and to have this curiosity to develop, and God put this passion in our hearts when he gave us his grace, and it's inspired us all as Christians, and we have this passion in our hearts that we need to share and to be open and to be open to everyone and willing to be welcoming and sharing and wanting to spread his word. Okay, so not only do we need to, should we be like an open church family, but also to be open to God's will. Because without God's will, the church family has no purpose. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. And so you need to be open to God's will to have this purpose. Because God gives church purpose. And he gives us direction. He gives us this motivation, this motion, this drive that we continue to move. And and also, because we're always on the move with God, he makes us forward thinking. He makes us go into motion to continue and spread the word, to have this passion, to always want to increase this body of Christ. This what we'll be talking about later, and to increase our church, our Christian family, and we walk alongside God with that. With God, be open to God as well. And together, with God's open will and the open church family, we can reach the unchurched by spreading his love and spreading his message and turning our faith, the whole church family's faith, into actions and outreach to reach the unchurched.
Okay. And so the next bit we wanted to talk a little bit about is the church as the body of Christ, and how God created his church to be his body here on in the world. Okay, so let me just count which one's which. Down. There we go. Okay. So now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in Romans 12, verse 4 to 5, it says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. So I found this just a really beautiful image of community and of unity, that God has created us to have this with each other, and that we all belong to each other. We are one unified body in Christ. Yeah. So as part of this body, Christ is the head of this body, which drives us and guides us, and also the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the soul of the body, which brings life into us, empowers us, and moves amongst us and through us. So I find it a little bit hard to get my head around just how insanely massive this body of Christ is, and what such an awesome thing it is. And I know whilst we were in Italy, I found that even more, because going over there, and there was such a welcoming church family, and we have brothers and sisters in Christ there, and hearing all the other teams who have been to India, Nepal, Uganda, wherever they've been, they've all found a family of Christ there. And it's then that I realised that actually this body of Christ is so much more than just ourselves. So the body of Christ spans across eternity, and it's all part of a bigger picture which goes across nations as well. It's not just here in Evesham, it's not just here in the UK, but it's all around the world that we have this body of Christ. And also I found that not only is it such an amazing body that we are together, but also I find it really amazing when I think about the intricate creator that is moulding us as well, so that we are not just a body, but that Christ is driving us and is moulding us and is forming his body. Okay. So does anyone recognise this? Has anyone ever seen Canadian geese flying in formation? It's such an amazing sight to see, and they make some pretty cool noises when they do it as well. So, so as they fly, as Canadian geese fly in formation, but there's a reason for it which I found really interesting, and there's actually a whole sermon on just that in itself, but I'm only going to choose one point from it. So as the geese fly in formation, they flap their wings, which creates an uplift for the bird behind them. So in this V-formation, the flock adds 71% greater flying range. I don't know who did those maths, but then if any bird were to fly alone. So together they're able to get so much further than they would if one bird tried to migrate by themselves. And it's reminded me, as individuals, we are awesome creations in Christ. And don't forget that. But then as part of this body of Christ, we find our place and a greater purpose within God's plan, united together. And this is the unity that God intends for us. This verse in the Bible comes from John 17, verse 20 to 23, and it's actually Jesus praying to his Father, so praying to God, which I never really considered that Jesus did pray to God, didn't he? Because I thought, I don't know what I thought, but yeah, Jesus did pray to God, and I found this prayer, and I love it. It gets a little bit confusing to get your head around the I's and the U's and the we's, but I'll read it out. So, I am praying not only for these disciples, Jesus' disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may be as one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me, and that you love them as much as you love me. So it's this unity that God intends for us as his body. I don't know, has anyone ever read The Shack here? The Shack. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a few nods, a few hands going up. I read it whilst we were over in Italy, and I found it an amazing book that made me think, really, and question things about my faith that I'd never really considered. And one of the really cool images that the book gives is that of the Trinity, of the Father, the Spirit, and the Son in perfect relationship with each other and perfect harmony with each other. So there's, in that relationship, there is an equal balance, and also just a pure enjoyment of each other's company between the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. They're all sort of live together and in relationship with one another. And this bliss and this love is what God wants for us, for his body, that we can be in community with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And also to be in a relationship with Christ as well, both as individuals and collectively as his body, to be in one relationship with him as our Father, as the head of this body. Okay, and another thing I found pretty cool about I used the word cool quite a lot, my siblings. I find really cool is that every part of the body is unique. Okay, that's not working, that's alright. So every part of the body is unique. And in Christ, each part is valued, is unique, and has a part to play, whether we realise it or not. So in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 to 20, it says, "Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I am not a part of the body because I am a hand,' does that not make it any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, 'I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye,' would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything?" "But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange would the body be if it only had one part? Yes, there are many parts, but only one body." So each person has a purpose in the body of Christ. In this unity, each person has a part to play. And all are equal. Whether we think it or not, God sees each part of this body of Christ as an equal valued part of the body. So whether you're an encourager, a leader, a listener, whether you're servant-hearted, whether you're passionate about justice, whatever it is, he can use you to bring him glory according to his will. And so we have a tendency to evaluate and elevate some giftings above others, but that's purely through man's eye alone, and that is not the way that God sees things. Okay. And together, as the body of Christ, we create synergy. So together, united in one body, we can do more with all the parts working together than we could ever do by ourselves, which again is tying in with the geese analogy. And we are all valued and wanted by God. Okay, and now I'll need two volunteers to get the... Can you just grab the flip chart paper? Now, I really wanted to do an analogy in this, so it's not really... most thought through, but hopefully you'll be able to get something from it. Yeah, that's great. Okay. So I am right-handed. I was just painting pictures yesterday. Okay. So I am right-handed. So if I write my name with my right hand on this piece of paper, it's not the neatest because I don't have the neatest writing, but it's legible and does the trick. My right hand does the trick when I want to write my name. But if I were to use my left hand, it's a little bit less legible, perfect than that, if you can even pull that one perfect. Oh, I'm not sure it's not impossible. Okay, and then if I'm to try something else, so I'm going to try writing it with my mouth. Okay, so that is my name when I write it with my mouth. And as you can tell, when I'm writing with my mouth, I can't speak, I can't eat or whatever it is. So the mouth has a special purpose, which is to eat and to talk. But neither can be done if I am using my mouth to try and write. So basically, I guess what the point of that is that each part of the body does have a special purpose, and it's when that we accept our weaknesses, when we recognize... Thank you. When we can recognize our strengths and recognize our weaknesses, that we can fully contribute to the body of Christ. So when I realize that my mouth is not great for writing, and I stop using it for writing and let my right hand write, and when I know that my mouth is good for talking, that's when I can fully use both things to the best of their ability. Okay, and this is a great thing as well in individual churches as well as Christ's global body. When people with different strengths contribute towards areas in the church, whether it's being on the welcome team, whether that's what you're good at, or whether it's being on the finance team, helping children's work, making refreshments in the music group, or preaching, or whatever else it may be, it's when we can recognize our strengths that we can fully contribute to the life of the church and to Christ's body. And maybe you haven't found your strength yet, or maybe you feel you don't have any, but what I want to say this morning is that God has made each person unique for a purpose, and he can use you. Okay. as well, another really exciting thing about this body of Christ is that the church is not a motionless body, but it's one full of life, and it's an exciting movement where God is on the move amongst us. And we are his hands, we are his feet, we are his ears, we are his mouth, we are his heart, and we need to be all of these things as part of being disciples of God, being part of this body of Christ. We need to be on the move for God, and that is some of what Janet was saying about sort of always being open to God's will, and just really being open to God and willing to do his will. And when God has created us with such diverse gifts, we need to use them for his glory and just be open to the places we need to go and to the people who God wants us to reach out to. I just really want to say as well that the church is a beautiful God-given and God-driven thing. As a people of God united in something much bigger than what goes on within the building walls, and regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of race, regardless of size, regardless of background or tradition, we are united in the common denominator which binds us all together, which is Jesus Christ. And we find God's gift of harmony, which he intends for each and every one of us, with each other and with him within his body. So we are his body, and let's celebrate that and live it out. So now Sarah is going to come and share with you her testimony, which ties into to what we've just been speaking about.
I'd just like to... I'd just like to share a little bit about how God changed me and my experience in Italy. And it relates a lot to food service, that's fine. Now, before I went to Italy, I was one of the shyest people you'd ever meet. I couldn't speak in front of people or play out loud or sing in front of people or anything. I was really in my shell. And I believed that I didn't have any talents or any way that I could serve God. So a few years ago, an action team that went to Africa came to our church and were telling us about their experience, and I just really felt the call to go and do this myself. Although I was a bit confused, I must admit, because I thought, how can God use me to do anything? I'm just useless. But I went along with it anyway to see what God would do. I knew that I'd be stretched since I arrived in Italy, partly because our pastor David told us that he would try and stretch us. One of the ways he did this was, on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday mornings, we would have pastor time, where each of us would take a turn in leading a devotional in Psalms, through one of those Psalms, and praying out loud. And as you can imagine, at first I was absolutely terrified. Like, speaking in front of even five people was a stretch for me. And I'd feel really ill just before doing it, just so nervous. And even praying out loud, like, I'm sitting there really nervous, like, thinking about what to say before it got to my turn. And my confidence was really low as well. I felt like, please be really good at singing and music, and like, oh, what can I do? I can't do anything. I felt like a really useless member of the team. I felt like I was part of like the body that just doesn't work. And in Italy, the church organised a praise party, which was a concert of praise and worship, and it was really good. But at first, it was only the four of us singing, and I kind of felt, oh dear, this isn't my gift at all, what am I doing? But the lady who organised it, called Connie, she was watching us practice, and she saw me like leaning away from the microphone like that. I just wanted to do it, and I didn't feel like I was gifted in that way. So she gave me some things that I could do instead of singing to contribute to the praise party. So I made a massive poster to go behind the singers, and I just did all little bits in the computer, like typing out scripts and things. And I just realised that God gave me gifts to do other things. Like, even if they're not as upfront and obvious as singing, I could still contribute to that praise party in my own way. And I found Connie herself really inspirational as well, because most of the people that we worked with were like insane and musically talented as well. And they could just hear a song and play it on the piano straight away, most of them. But Connie didn't have that particular gift. But you can still see with all the work that she did how valuable she was in the church family and how much she did and how important she was. And this verse that you just mentioned, if the foot says, I'm not a part of the body just because I'm not a hand, it doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And it sounds silly, but for a long time I was that foot that said, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand. So my eyes were just open to see that I can still be a part of the body and I can still do things and contribute. and that I could serve God on my own way. And that I was there for a reason as well. But before I felt like I wasn't there for a reason, like, what can I do here? And my confidence just grew and grew until people just started commenting on it and saying, well, you're speaking front people and stuff. And it was just amazing to see how something God was doing in me became visible to other people. By the end of our time in Italy, I was happily praying out loud during pastor time, and I quite enjoyed doing devotions and psalms. And on our last service, I did a short farewell speech in Italian, which was a big step. I did cry, but that's because I was sad, not because I was nervous. And we also sang two songs together as a team. And these seem like really small things, but for me they're really huge because they just completely changed me as a person. And I know that God's done that in me. I know that He's going to continue to stretch me and mould me throughout tours. I'm going to be doing even more public speaking and things like that. I'm just really glad that now I found the confidence in Him.